We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
If anything, give Coach Belichick credit for he was responsible for keeping Tom Brady there for 20 years. Athleticism, all the, you know, just all the things that embodies Cam Newton. I think it'd be a great fit for the New England Patriots.
Oh, yes.
Dale Arnold.
9-run victory. That's how you finish out a series on the road. Look at that. Mitch Moreland, 6-for-6 with 4 home runs.
Rich Keefe.
Here is the Long Island iced tea. Vodka, gin, rum, tequila, triple sec.
The guy is drunk.
Dale and Keefe with Wiggy.
And the booty hole gets tighter.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Big day today, the very first episode of Dale and Wiggy here on Sports Radio WEEI because of the unfortunate demise over the weekend of my former partner, Rich Keefe.
How dare you, Dale? How dare you suggest that?
What was the tea part of the Long Island iced tea?
It looks and tastes like iced tea.
It could not taste like iced tea.
It does,
tea.
I swear
like
to God.
It's got 9 different alcohols
Two
in it.
2 shots of vodka.
Next time I see you, Dale, which might be 2022, it I'm guessing, be. I'll whip one up and you'll be shocked how much it tastes like a nice sweet tea.
I like how carefully you pour it, too. 1 Mississippi, yeah. 2 Mississippi, 3
well,
Mississippi.
Well, you got to have the right amounts, and so you can count it out like that.
So it's what are we doing here? No more sword videos? Now you're doing Now you turned into a bartender.
Now I'm Tom Cruise and cocktail
you're
now.
You're going to make us drinks every day and
that's
drink?
That's it. Nice. I probably should. Yeah, no, that's why I always laugh when people, they ask me, they're like, besides beer, what kind of drink do you like? And I say Long Island iced tea. And they always go, ooh, they make fun of me.
Based on the video I watched, yeah. No wonder you like them.
I'm like, no kidding. I go, what's the problem? They're like, oh, that's like a, they'll say, even in these times, they'll say that's a girly drink.
It
and
is.
I say, first of all, you shouldn't say that. It's 2020.
Well, no,
men's
grow
drinks,
up a little bit.
Ladies' drinks.
Well, I mean, I don't think
it's all the same drinks.
Yeah, but
now.
We're just saying, like, you know, more ladies'
but how
drinks.
So when there's 5 shots in a drink,
I think it's the more the taste.
Okay, you got a little rum in there.
Yeah, a little rum.
Same rules. Yep. 1 Mississippi, 2 Mississippi, 3 Mississippi.
Careful.
Maybe a little bit more.
A little bit more if you want. It's up to you.
Do you got to put the Mississippis in there?
Is yeah, that's yeah. How you count it out. That's like roughly a shot of each one with the Mississippis.
I don't know. When I drink with my wife and I say, hey, what do you want to drink?
She has Long Islands?
No, she likes Long Islands, cause, but she's like, you know, get me a drink that has a little flavor to it. Like,
yes,
you know, so.
And it does. And that's why you do a little splash of sour, a little splash of Coke. Stir it around.
There is zero chance you could have more than one of those.
I had 2 on Saturday
Get
night.
Out of
and
here.
A brew dog to wash it all down.
Oh, my God.
How do you like that? Because we did.
You
we
are had, hardcore, my friend.
No, it's sec. There's another word for it, Dale. Begins with an A. But I was. We actually.
Amazing.
On Saturday night, we my wife and I had drinks with a friend of mine and his wife via the internet.
Oh,
you know,
nice.
We sat down and we did the, I forget if it was FaceTime or whatever
internet
it was.
Swinging.
And then internet swinging. So we each had our, we all 4 of us had our cocktails and we talked about what it's like being at home.
Wow, that's pretty
that's
cool.
That's what we did.
So date
that's,
night.
That's the
know,
new norm. It was a double date.
Double date.
We had a double date by the computer. And we were just talking about, you know, how they spent their day and that's
yeah, my wife
it.
And I, we drank this weekend too.
What'd you have?
We drink Ciroc.
Oh, okay.
So Rock on the Rocks.
That's nice.
Yes.
You that's a lot
vodka.
Easier to make.
Yeah,
you
it's a lot easier.
Ice. That's all you need.
We had peach I flavor. That. I do yeah. like the flavored
vodka. Ooh, the flavored vodka.
I am a flavored vodka guy, right. So.
I like a little, this is also what some would dub a girl drink, but I think they're all, doesn't matter the gender drink, is if you go cherry vodka with a little Sprite, just a little dab of Sprite mixes very,
now,
very well.
Now, are you
going to
make drinks
Every
because
night.
The thing about the thing about
every night, that's my new thing.
The thing about a Long Island iced tea, mm-hmm. it's not an easy drink.
No, there's a lot of ingredients.
Right. So yeah. are you gonna now is this like,
it was the, like nine of them.
Yeah, there's a bunch of ingredients.
Is that like now that we're
you empty your cupboard. You're like, what if yeah. What like what do we have?
So now that we're,
you know what I'm gonna do one day? Although I might need to go to the grocery store and my famous sangria. My sangria would get butts in the seats.
Sangria? The wine?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
But see, I thought...
But there's also vodka in it, rum, and...
It's basically all the same ingredients you put in the Long Island drink.
Yeah, you know what? Now that I think about it, it's the same thing, but a bottle of wine's in there.
You got to show the people, too, how you make your extra special seltzer. So grab your favorite Truly.
Seltzer. Yep, I do seltzers. See, I can also do my margarita, my extra special margarita.
I was thinking you went from Long Island iced tea, yeah. then the next thing you make is like a Sex on the Beach, and then...
I could do that.
And that is the best drink in the world.
Because, calm down, John.
Because with those drinks...
Literally jumped to his microphone.
Relax.
Boing.
So what are people doing now? They're trying to figure out their watching a lot of, you know, whether it's videos. So now, hey,
this is my
Rich,
DIY,
Rich
right?
Keefe yeah. teaches you how to make a nice drink for you and right. the wife every night.
Every what? Night.
yeah, Long Island, yeah. Sex on the Beach. Yep. What else is this?
What else is the Cape Codder?
Slippery.
What?
I don't think you can say
oh, maybe
the other
not.
One.
Okay. All right.
Slippery Maribel. Pickle.
You know,
Fuzzy
you might
Mabel.
Actually be yes. on the for- you might be on the forefront of something here.
Yeah.
Because I read this article earlier today in the New York Post. And in the article, the president of Belarus,
yeah.
Alexander Lukashenko, he says the cure for the coronavirus is vodka and saunas.
Well, I got half of that down. I got to get myself a sauna.
I got two of those.
Well, Belarus is one of the few places in the world that's still playing sports. Shime's been betting on them, so I know about
actually,
that.
He's quoted in this article. He says...
Who, Shime is?
The president. Of, he says, it's better to die quote, standing than to live on your knees. And he says sports Ooh. Are, quote, the best antivirus remedy. Wow. That's why they're playing over there. He doesn't care.
Wow.
Like a good that's a good movie quote.
It's a bold strategy, right. Cotton. We'll see what works out for
I'd
him.
I'd rather die standing on my feet.
He went on to say, and
live
you'll
on
like
my
this
knees,
part.
John
you'll like
Wick.
This part, Keith. Yeah, right. He said, quote, people should not only wash their hands with vodka, but also poison the virus with it. You should drink the equivalent of 40 to 50 milliliters of rectified spirit daily. But not at work.
Mm. No, not at work.
Well, you can
no.
wash
but
your
who's
hands.
At, who's at work?
You can wash your hands with vodka.
You could?
Yeah, because isn't hand sanitizer, isn't it just alcohol?
Yeah, there's alcohol in there, yeah.
Right, so alcohol, you yeah, put alcohol on your hands.
I know there was also an article in the New York Post that said alcohol is, quote, unhelpful coping strategy for coronavirus cabin fever.
No, not according to President Lukashenko.
Or anybody who's tried it. I just feel like, what else are we supposed to do? Like, what else are we supposed to do?
Here's my
Netflix,
final quote from the
Netflix,
press.
Netflix, I mean, I think we're getting tired. Netflix is not putting out enough shows.
We're going to be burned out.
If I get corona, I get corona.
Here's my final quote from the president. When you come out of the sauna, not only wash your hands, but also your insides with 100 milliliters of vodka.
That's a bit much. I mean, that
you got to do it. Because I'm getting like corona fever.
Yeah, you're losing your mind.
Yeah, so I mean,
I can tell.
If you got a drink, at least that takes the edge off of it. You kind of maybe.
Because nobody's driving anywhere.
Nobody.
So you stay home, you mix up a few drinks.
Right.
No, you're not bothering anybody.
And then maybe, now Netflix gets a little bit more enjoying and playing video games and all that other stuff. It's just.
I came to a conclusion this weekend. Now, let me start this by saying we are lucky. The three of us are very lucky. There are a lot of people out there who don't get to work, who don't, have an income coming in right now. And I understand how lucky we are. But what I discovered is that now things are flipped. The weekends are worse. Because at least during the week, I've got you guys to talk to. I've got, my job to think about.
Yeah.
You get to the weekend, and it's like, what about those 6 hours I filled, getting ready for and doing the show Monday through Friday? Now what do I do?
Well, and for a lot of people, the weekend is the regular, like, it's all the same. It's just more of
pretty
the same
much.
Is what it feels like for a ton of people, which is crazy.
That's the thing. Yeah. I mean, we're lucky, and I stress that. We're lucky. I know that. But then I realized now my weekend is worse.
Well,
that's a bad thing.
Yeah, I'm just at the point. I'm like, all right, time for Corona to go, man.
Wiggy's done with it. Wiggy's he's had enough
I'm
of
like
the
Brady. Corona be gone.
I got news for you. You didn't listen to the president yesterday. Not only is it going to be gone, you're going to be in your house longer.
For an extra 30 days. I don't know how long we got.
They do so many different press conferences. There's like one every day. But yeah. I'm pretty sure that the vice president said we could pray it away, right? Maybe we should all get together and
I don't know when the day is. you turn on one doctor says 6 years, another doctor says 6 months. I have no idea.
They're all over the place.
There is I was actually, and they were probably listening to me earlier. There was actually a televangelist who was praying away the coronavirus. I was listening to it.
Yeah, how'd that go?
Well, I think we're safe now because he pretty much banned it.
Oh, so you can go back outside.
You're gone. You're out.
Unlock your doors, Dale. Step outside. Nothing.
Yeah, no, we're
all
good.
Set. Yeah, listen.
He prayed it away. Well, he didn't really pray it away. He demanded it leave.
Yeah, he's probably going to get it in a couple days. I have a feeling there's been more of those stories. Like the more outspoken you are against it, the more likely you are
to get it.
Get it. Yeah.
That's like Liberty University, Jerry Falwell Jr. says last week, you know what? We're going to bring everybody back. We're going to reopen.
Oh, okay.
We're good.
Yeah. Right.
Bring them all back.
Yeah.
They've got 12 cases of COVID-19 right now. And they've got kids begging to go home.
Yeah.
Well, it's going to be whether or not you are able to get through it. As I say, Marcus Smart, he came through it.
Marcus Smart came out on the other side.
Came out on the other side, yep. Said he's doing good. But I feel like
Who else came through it? Because I was texting with her over the weekend. Our friend Doris Burke.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I saw that she got it.
What did Doris, she say? Like that? What were like her?
She said that she's feeling much better. But mm-hmm. she said when she was in the throes, it was bad.
Yeah.
And she told me, you know, she was very thankful now to be, you know, on the other side, thankfully. But she said it was really bad when she was going through it. And now, thankfully, she's feeling better.
Was it James Dolan? He's got it.
I mean,
New York, it's like, I mean, anybody in New York, I feel like, has it.
Yeah.
Boomer Esiason was on this morning. They said like five people that work for the Fan had it. So they sent everybody home.
It's just one of those things that, you know, there's so many people. And I say it kind of jokingly, but I'm like, I feel like we all got it.
I do too.
It depends on whether it hits you or it doesn't hit you.
No, right. I think you either had it, have it, or will get it.
Right.
And it's just a matter of, right, some people like Donovan Mitchell had it, never even once had a symptom. So
right.
Other like Doris Burke could feel it. They knew it. Like Tom Hanks said he could feel it.
Right.
2 weeks he had it, but then they're back out.
Right.
I think the one bright spot from the other day they were saying is the discharge rate from hospitals is like skyrocketing. Like more people are going in. And then they're getting treated for a day or two, then they're getting right out.
Right.
So, I mean, that was sort of the one positive note, really, from the weekend.
And unfortunately, as we said, it's going to be a while. Now, I don't think that this necessarily delays the return of sports, if sports return, you know, this season. Because I think most of us kind of thought it was going to be July anyway.
Well, I said mid-June. I think sports will be back by mid-June. They'll be back. They'll be playing.
With a crowd.
I think with a crowd, yes. I think with a crowd. Because here's the way I look at this, right? And Rich, you and I talked about this a little bit in the back. As soon as you open the doors for restaurants and schools, right?
Mm-hmm.
As soon as you allow, you know, especially restaurants more so than schools, but as soon as you say, all right, restaurants are open, then basically aren't you saying, okay, you can now have sporting events or you can have events with people there? Because if you have sports with no fans in the arena, aren't they all just going to go to a bar and pack into a bar?
Well, they can do, I mean, again, it depends on what we're talking about, how many people can be together at once. Because this is sort of, every couple of days there was a change for a while. And so if it, you know, it needs to be more than 25.
But do you think
the gathering
it comes
needs to be more
back,
than 25.
But do you, see, that's what I'm thinking.
I think there's a chance it could come back crowds.
No, because I don't think they're going to say, okay, we're going to open the restaurants up, but we're only going to limit the amount of people we have. I think if they go the route of saying we're going to open the restaurants, they're basically saying, okay.
Yeah, so you mean like at this point,
Wiggy, I think you're wrong, man. It will not be all or nothing. They will tell them you can start bringing people back in, but 50% capacity, and then we'll work it up to 75% capacity.
But how do you
They're not going to say, here's the date, open the doors, you're back in business.
But I don't really know how you monitor that, right? So if you're saying.
It's very simple. You literally take the chairs out. That's what they were doing before things closed down, when restaurants were still open in the city of Boston, they were required to take half their seats out.
But aren't you still putting people right next to you? So if you put...
No, that's the idea. Because you're taking half the seats out, you're not setting them right next to each other.
So you think every? So you're saying they're going to open up and it's still going to be this 6 feet distance in
yes,
a restaurant
to start?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if you can really do that. How do you go? So you got to stand at a bar and somebody's going, oh, you're too close to each other.
Yes, that's exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah,
to start.
I think you're reaching on that one. I understand what you're thinking about, but I think that's kind of more fantasy land than anything.
Because plus, then you have like your bartender, you have your waiter or waitress.
Right.
Like,
so what's the way to go? Like he puts it at a certain table, yeah, and then you got to go get it. I think if you're saying to these restaurants, we're allowing you to open back up, I think that you're letting people know, because if restaurants open back up, then the malls open back up and then stores open back up.
Well, could restaurants remain closed but sporting events open up minus crowds? Could you do it that way?
Well, then you would say, but if you're saying we're going to have sporting events, yeah, then maybe you could say, well, the restaurant.
I think Rich is right. I think it's more likely, again, because this is not going to be, okay, turn the spigots back on, we're good as of Friday. I think that they're going to start with maybe no crowds, but at least reduced capacity crowds, and then work your way back up.
So then you think then restaurants won't open back up?
No, they will, but they will not be at full capacity to start.
But I don't think there's a way that you can.
I told you the way. You just don't like it.
No, no, it's not. But
it's what they were doing in Boston, Wiggy, before they shut things down.
But what they were doing in Boston is you know, I don't really remember. But how do you then with the waiter? How do you keep the waiter at a 6 feet distance? If you're saying
they didn't kind of yell at him, that the waiter brought the food to your table.
Okay,
but the capacity of the restaurant was cut in half.
Okay, I can understand the capacity, but you're still now, if the restaurant holds 100 people, if you're putting 50 people in there, aren't those 50 people that are still in there, aren't they still at some risk if they're in a restaurant with 50 people?
But they are much more separated. They are at much less risk because they're not sitting elbow to elbow.
Yeah, I just think that's going to be too hard to police. I think you're going to have people, because now you might open a restaurant and go, all right, we're only doing seating. No one can stand at the bar, and then I think that becomes a big issue.
I still think the bigger problem
may be exactly what they'll do.
I think even right now I think people are overall doing a pretty good job, but then it's the grocery stores and the liquor stores, which people are allowed to go to, and they're still like swamped, and there's still people on top of people and everything else, and it's a necessity. People got to go there, but it's like we're doing everything right. I think most jobs are sort of adhering to it and things like that, But, well, got to go to the grocery store with everybody else. The parking lots. Every time I've been to the grocery store, the parking lot's slammed.
I
have. No, I've been.
Your wife works at Whole Foods.
Yeah.
The local Whole Foods that I go to. When I tried to go there over the weekend, they had somebody at the door. They were letting a limited number of people in at a time. And there was a line up the sidewalk, 6 feet apart, And they were very much limiting the number of people who could go in the store at any one time.
And that's good. I mean, the places that I've gone to, they've not done that. And it's sort of everybody is in there. They've done a nice job at sort of getting like a line, like sort of you're in a queue almost. But as far as the aisles are concerned,
right?
You know, you're grabbing fruit and vegetables and whatever else you can right next to people.
And then I heard another great idea that somebody proposed, and it's so simple. I'm wondering why it hasn't been enacted everywhere. You make all aisles in the supermarkets one way. You can only go this way down this aisle, and then you can go the other way up the other aisle, and you make it all one way to avoid the people having to pass each other, you know, left to right and things like that.
Yeah, I don't hate that.
But then, so you're saying, but the key is that now people are they going to be tailgating you?
Right. But they were. They are.
But they don't.
Well, Dale, I've been there. They do.
The people I was watching in the line, you know, waiting to get into Whole Foods, they were keeping that six. It was the same thing at Home Depot. I drove by Home Depot, and they had a line outside. It was like Disney World with the ropes and everything. And again, they were limiting the number of people who could go in the store at any one time. And people were 6 feet apart standing in line waiting to get in
the door.
Here's
what I wonder about the 6 feet. If I'm behind you 6 feet, and you happen to sneeze or cough, and I start to walk, doesn't that 6 feet where from where you sneeze, doesn't that to shrink?
No, you'll get it. Yeah, you'll get it.
So, Wiggy, you're saying they shouldn't do anything then?
No.
They're trying to limit as best they can your exposure.
But I think the thing that what they're doing a good job of, when they say limit, I think what you had said originally, If it's a restaurant that seats 100 people, at the door they're saying we're only letting 50 people in.
That's it.
Yeah, but you might not get to the point where everybody's 6 feet apart. We're just saying we're limiting the amount of people that are going to be in there. Because it's just really difficult to keep everybody at a six-foot distance.
Right.
That's the hard part. So if you want to say, all right, hey, restaurants are going to say we're only going to allow half the capacity, but you could still go to the bar and it's still going to be, you know, you just won't be sitting on top of each other. I can understand that. But I think the other big key that we'll notice here is if the kids go back to school, which is May 4th.
They're not going. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you right now, Wiggy, this no inside information. I'm just my own opinion. I think school is done for the year. I think it's done.
So why not just cancel it?
Well, because they don't want to say it until they have to. But I, in my opinion, the kids aren't going back.
Okay.
This year. And as the father of a teacher, a public school teacher, she expects she's not going back this year, too.
Okay, so then May 4th, they'll be saying schools are closed.
Yep, that's what I think is going to happen.
I bet they'll do it before that. Right?
Yeah, like, you're probably right.
Like everything else. Remember, it was April 10th or whatever it was. Then it was April 27th, then it was May 4th. But they didn't wait until that date to postpone it. I think the best chance you have of the kids going back would be if there's no update in the next 2 weeks. Because like everything's been changing, right? So if they actually leave like an endpoint there for a while, which has never been the case. Like remember, schools within a 3-day span went from they're going to be back in on Monday. Nope, they're going to be out for 2 weeks. Nope, they're going to be out a month. And it was like within 3 days.
Right.
So if we can maintain like a few weeks where that's still the end date, then that's the only chance you have.
See, I could see the May 4th when they initially, when they originally did it, they were like April. Third or seventh or something like that.
Yeah, like and a couple of towns said 27th, but most of them said like third.
Right,
yeah.
But then they realize, okay, well, April vacation is that week at the end of April.
Right.
So there's really no need of having them come back to school and then for a week, and then they got April vacation. So it seems like a good date where they say now, all right, here, come back May 4th. That would be after most
April
vacations.
And I also wonder, like logistically, how many days would even make sense to go back?
Like,
let's say you're able to go back on May 30th. What, for
that's
2 weeks?
Yeah, it's
like,
not
what
are
you, like, at that point,
well, May
4th doing?
Would give you, like, you know, a month
over
and
a month.
Half. Yeah,
May 4th, then, all right, you can still actually go back and try to get some semblance of schooling. But if
well,
you
if
go,
they back
go back
May
weeks,
4th, if they go back May 4th, they'll be going until July.
Yeah, but I don't, can they, though?
Yeah.
Because I thought there was a teacher contracts, they literally can't go till July 1st because, like, there's a snow day rule
but
and
like,
everything
right,
else.
I don't know what that
right
is.
up to it. They'll be going through the end of June if they go back May 4th.
I think that's when you can, that's the longest you can go.
Well, and I think most of the kids wouldn't mind that because if they go back to school, then what that means is they'll be able to maybe save some of those spring sports like lacrosse. I know there was a couple.
Yeah,
like
a few games.
There was a girls lacrosse team. I forget where, Lincoln Sudbury or something like that. They wrote a letter to the MIAA. So maybe you'll be able to save like
a few games.
Well, yeah, you'll be able to add some more games.
Yeah, you know
what I mean? You'll be able to kind of keep the schedule a little bit longer because you're going to school a little bit later. So you get baseball and lacrosse and track and that type of stuff.
This entire week is Brady Week here on Sports Radio. And this is all to benefit restaurantstrong.org, the Restaurant Strong Fund. We're trying to raise much-needed money for the people who work in the restaurant industry. So every day, each of the shows will have a segment dedicated to Tom Brady. This morning at 8:30, Boomer Esiason was on with the Greg Hill Show. Today at 12:30, our Brady Week segment, because Jermaine Wiggins is in the house, we're going to rank the top five tight ends of the Tom Brady era. I will tell you that as the week goes on, we're working on some other things, but Ty Law will join us on Wednesday. Kevin Falk will join us on Thursday. And then there will be a segment at 4:30 on OMF. There will be a segment at 6:30 on With Mutt at Night. So all week long, each of the shows will have a segment specifically designed to honor Tom Brady's legacy as a member of the Patriots. And today, because Wiggy's here, we're going to try to rank the top five tight ends of all time during the Brady era.
Love it.
We all might have different lists.
We all have the same number one.
I think I
one,
got my like top four right now.
Well, you're going to need five.
I know, but I'm still trying to figure out who that fifth guy is.
I think two
be.
Through five could be very fluid. I think that
could
be
one's kind
though.
Of easy, isn't one, it?
One's out of the way. One's kind of not even
one's
close.
One's wrestling.
One has left everybody in the dust. But two through five is actually pretty interesting.
Yeah.
And depending on how you do it, the list could be very different.
And I think it depends on
what you value.
Yeah, what you value is going to be key from two to five.
100%.
So all that's coming up at 12:30 today. We'll get to your phone calls in just a couple of minutes at 617-779-7937. Text line is 37937. It's Dale and Keith. Wiggy's in the house, and it's time to trend.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Back to Dale and Keith with Wiggy.
I said the lights get too bright, the booty holes get too tight
on WEEI.
That's what it is.
(617) 779-7937 is the telephone number. Our Brady Week content for today, coming up at 12:30 today, is when we will rank the top five tight ends of the Tom Brady era. We're not going to do that before 12:30. We're just telling you ahead of time so that you can maybe prepare your list as well. We'll start with the proviso that we all know who the first is.
Yeah.
So we're really only ranking two through five.
Correct. But I think all three lists could be different, you know, when looking
at
it.
Oh, I think they will be, sure.
They're very, because guys sort of, they'd be here for, some of them were here for a year and had a big impact. Mm-hmm. Some were here for five. Some were, you know, I mean, it depends on really, like we said before, what you value. You know, is it stats? Is it the winning? Is it Super Bowls? Is it whatever? So this should be good.
That'll be coming up at 12:30 today. We'll kind of be all over the place with some different things. One of the things we've got to talk about, the latest salary cap numbers are out. And the Patriots are in rough shape. I mean, they don't have a whole lot of salary cap space. But did you see what the Kansas City Chiefs have for salary cap space right now today?
They got a few bucks kicking around, right?
$117.
I mean, they might be able to do some things.
I could
with
play
that
for the Chiefs. I'd sign for that. Just a chance to go play for them.
They could buy one roll of toilet paper.
Yeah, they could.
The problem is they've got a draft they've got to pay for, too, coming up. Yeah. Whenever that takes place. I mean, the commissioner says it'll take place when it's supposed to. They're not going to be able to sign their draft picks for $117.
And so, yet something tells me they're going to actually draft players and sign
will.
Them. You know?
Which means they got to get rid of some other players or restructure some players and all those things.
Right, because the they just signed another guy, right? They just signed, was it DeMarcus Robinson? They just re-signed. So, I mean, what they'll do is they'll restructure a bunch of guys that they want.
That's all they'll do.
To whatever the number is that they need in order to sign their draft picks. So
I think the Patriots have the second least amount of salary cap space left. At the moment, it's a little over like $83,000 or something. Again, not enough to pay for your draft class. But Ryan Hannibal on WEEI.com wrote an article late last week talking about some of the things they could do to, you know, get some more money and you redo some contracts. Maybe you trade some guys. Maybe trade Stephon Gilmore or somebody.
Should we start talking about how they mismanaged things?
I did.
Because if they're not even paying a quarterback right now, and yet they still... Because it's one thing if you have a ton of money invested into an MVP quarterback and you're like, all right, we got to figure out how we're going to do these other things. But, you know, you're like, you don't even have, as far as money going to the quarterback, they got to be towards the bottom of the league. And again,
I guess, sure.
I mean, the dead cap thing, that's a team hit. That's the contract that they signed. I'm just saying Hoyer and Stidham and Kessler has got to be sort of at the bottom of the league, and yet they still don't have a whole lot of money. So I think one of the main things will be Joe Tooney. Like, what do they do with him? I think they either trade him or they extend him. The chances of him playing just on the franchise tag seems unlikely.
But doesn't this then pose the question of, okay, what are they trying to do?
Yep.
Are they trying to rebuild, retool, or just reset? That, you know, I think that's the biggest question that you have. And I don't know what they're trying to do.
I know.
You know, so
they've kind of mixed messages. Well,
nobody
so
knows
far.
What Belichick's trying to do until he does it. I mean, he's always been that way.
Well, yes and no. But the last 20 years, we didn't know specifically what moves he was going to make, but he was trying to win the Super Bowl.
Oh, absolutely.
So this year you don't know. Like this year you have no idea.
Well, you always knew, like, okay, you knew that they were always going to be competitive and you know, then it got to a point where, you know, whether they were the favorites in the AFC, right. they were going to contend for the AFC.
Like, you might disagree with some moves, and we all did.
Right.
But at the end of the day, they were trying to win the whole thing, whereas right now you're like, is that really what's best? If you're talking about how do you get the most wins for the next 5 years, is it trying to be competitive with this roster and eking out 7, 8, maybe 9 wins?
Right.
Or is it kind of finding a way to both get a better draft pick next year and have more cap flexibility,
right?
And you know, put yourself in that position. And if that's the case, then you're not,
because you got to ask yourself: are you a playoff contender for the next 2 years?
It really all depends on if Stidham's the quarterback.
Yes. You'll contend for a wild card spot.
I don't know.
Years.
I don't know if you will.
I think Bill Belichick alone gets you there.
No, I don't think so. I don't think you can just base it all off of that, because, you know, the problem is we've seen Bill with Brady for so many years, right? So that's why we're always like, yeah, Bill will get you a couple wins. Well, you know, Bill might get you a couple wins, but because you had Brady, who then gets you a couple more, now you don't have Tom. So I don't know. If they had,
you know, Collins and Van Noy, you might feel a little bit better about it.
But let's say Bill gets you 4 or 5 wins. Is your roster good enough to get
another 4 or 5?
Yeah.
I mean, I think it just really comes. Is Stidham the starting quarterback? And if so, like, he's just such a wild card. We have no idea. If he's good, then yeah, maybe you can. You could surprise the people. But if he stinks, then no. Like, even the best coach can only do so much with a quarterback.
Right. But if you had to basically, you know, do it like Vegas goes and guard.
Yeah.
This team has a rookie starting quarterback who's a fourth round draft pick. The likelihood of him being successful is probably not very high.
Well, I was shocked that the Vegas over-under was 9 wins.
Yeah, that one I didn't get.
I would probably take the under based on what the roster looks like right now.
There's a guy I follow on Twitter named Tucker Boynton, does a lot of statistics-based stuff. And he came up over the weekend with the most remarkable stat of the Tom Brady era. That Tom Brady never took a single snap in 324 starts in the NFL in a game that didn't mean anything. That, you know, there was always playoffs or you know,
seeding
a playoff
or
win.
Whatever, yeah.
Every single snap he ever took. Will there get to a point where at some point later in this season where Jarrett Stidham or whoever it is, Brian Hoyer, whoever the quarterback is, are taking snaps in games that don't mean anything?
Yeah, there's a good chance, you know, that last month of the year. Although, I'll tell you, the sort of extra little detail with the seventh playoff team, maybe that changes the answer, because last year 8-8 would have made the playoffs.
Yeah, 8-8 will get you in.
So if you're, you know, sitting
and this
there,
this team is good enough to be 8-8.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know about that. I mean, could they be 8-8?
Sure.
Maybe. But I don't know if you could just go look at it and go, they're an 8-8 team.
But this is also why I hate the extra playoff team, because now you're going to have late in the year, like middle of December, teams with 6 and 7 wins saying, well, we got a chance.
Yeah.
But those teams shouldn't have a chance. Those teams are terrible. They don't belong in the playoffs. But now.
But they will be.
They're gonna
they
be,
will have a chance.
They're going to be there with that number of wins. So, yeah, maybe they can.
I have a hard time picturing that Bill Belichick and his staff and granted, you guys are right that the roster isn't as good as it was last year, and that got them a first-round playoff loss. But I think this team, as it's constituted right now, whether Stidham's at quarterback or Hoyer or somebody else, is in playoff contention. They're playing games in December with a playoff spot on the line.
Yeah. They just don't have enough.
Like, right now, I would say
you would
no.
think it, there were people that said with Brady they didn't have enough talent, right? So now you
haven't added any.
Right, you haven't added any talent. You lost Brady.
You lost defensive talent.
You lost defensive talent, right? And then kind of people, even last year, people were like, oh, well, is their defense really that good? Or did they play a lot of cream puffs early in the year?
Well, that's what kind of what happened. You know, similar to you know, the Bruins got the best possible draw last year to get to the cup final. The Patriots, the first 8 weeks, not only were they playing bad teams, they were playing backup and third string quarterbacks. Like,
right.
I don't think you'll ever see that again. Like, it was just the kind of dumb luck that they fell into. So they were 8-0 before we even knew if they were good, where I don't think that'll happen this year. We've talked about how the schedule is tough. And then you just, without Brady, you're like so many other teams right now. And whether it's Stidham or Hoyer, you're going to get weeks where the quarterback might look pretty good. Maybe they scheme it up and they look good. You're going to have other weeks where
he looks bad.
They might get shut out. That was never really a possibility with Brady. You weren't going to get shut out at the very
least. Never thought they'd ever be shut out.
And now you could. I mean, I go back.
But in the Brady era, but you never thought it.
The four games that Brady missed because of suspension, Jimmy Garoppolo played a game and a half and looked really good, actually. Was lighting it up. Then he got hurt against the Dolphins. Then Brissett came in and had the one game where they schemed it up. I think he had a rushing touchdown, and they beat the Texans. And then the next week, they got shut out by the Buffalo Bills. And I just think Brissett might be kind of a good example of what the quarterback play might be like this year, where it could be really hit or miss. Belichick's going to have to, you know, not only outcoach people, which he seemingly does all the time, but then when you're making up for that talent gap, that is going to just be really difficult.
Well, think about this, you know, looking off of it last year, right? So their first three games last year was about probably what their offense was able to do. When you think about
it. Well, you had Brown for one of them, and you had Gordon for three of them.
The Steelers game, offensively, they looked good. Then the Dolphins game, you had Antonio Brown. And then the Jets game, you scored 21 points, and then Edelman all of a sudden got hurt.
Yeah.
But then you start to look at the Bills game. They won that 16-10. Do they beat the Bills without Brady?
Maybe. They only allowed 10 points.
But think about
it. I understand. Maybe not.
You know, the Stidham gets you 16 with, you know, N'Keal Harry, Mohamed Sanu, and Julian Edelman, and who knows what your running game is.
Right.
So that's why I think you have to look at it. Right? You know, a lot of people are like, oh, yeah, they were 8-0 last year. They were 8-0 because their defense, well, no, there was three games in there where offensively they were very good. And then there were some games where they struggled offensively. But I don't know, you're going to struggle a lot worse this year than you did last year because Brady wasn't making bad decisions. And
yes,
you know,
he was.
But not, I mean,
yes, he did. Let's not make him perfect.
He was making bad decisions, but not as many as a rookie fourth round draft.
Did he throw a pick in the end zone in that game?
Right. But my point is, he made mistakes, but not as many as a rookie fourth round draft pick's going to make. How many rookie mistakes you think Stidham's going to make this year?
Oh,
a ton.
A bunch. Yeah.
So Brady made mistakes, but it wasn't as many as whether it's Hoyer, Stidham, or whoever else you want to put in a quarterback is going to make.
What if it's Cam Newton?
Cam Newton's still going to make a ton of mistakes, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's the way you have to factor it. If Brady made 20 mistakes through the first 8 weeks of the season, those guys are going to double it and make 40, 50 mistakes.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. I promise your calls are coming up next 12:30 today for Brady Week. We will rank the top five tight ends of the Tom Brady era, knowing full well that we have a tight end from the Tom Brady era sitting right there. It's Dale and Keefe with Wiggy, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Dale and Keefe is on from 10 to 2.
That's why you get up in the morning.
Give me the ball and get out of the way.
On WEEI.
(617) 779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. It's Brady Week. As we are trying to help out as best we can, the Greg Hill Foundation and the Restaurant Fund, a lot of people in the restaurant industry, obviously hurting very badly out there. And we want to thank the good folks at Sam Adams who have helped sponsor this event. And you can go to restaurantstrong.org to make your own donations. So 12:30 today is our Brady Week content. Still working on tomorrow, but I can tell you Wednesday, Ty Law will join us. Thursday, Kevin Falk will join us. Friday, we've got Andy Hart in the house, but we're working on some other things as well.
Yeah, we can do better than that, can't we, on Friday?
I did like
the Jersey thing that you guys are doing.
You like Jersey Day?
Cool. Yeah. Jersey Day was pretty
cool. Yeah, Jersey, I think that's going to continue.
We're going to do Jersey Day again on Friday.
I got some good jerseys for him.
Yeah. Look, Keith got berated on Twitter for wearing the jersey as a grown man.
I know. Well,
and also for wearing backwards baseball hat. No, some people didn't like that.
You know, listen, Rich. I'm all for the jerseys.
It was somebody named Keen. It wasn't Rich Keen.
No, the person kept saying Rich Keen, and then they replied 9 times trying to correct it, and every time it would say Rich Keen.
It's a nice autocorrect.
I'm all for the jerseys.
What's wrong with jerseys?
I love jerseys. Yeah. I got a dope collection of jerseys.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Heart's out Friday.
Heart's out. We got Wiggy in.
My jerseys would absolutely
crushes.
I'd wear a Minnesota Vikings game worn Wiggy jersey.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Because I see, what did he wear? Moose Johnson. He had Moose.
He had a Moose Johnson. He had a Shaq.
He did one an hour. Yeah. I don't have that many. Yeah. I can't.
And he had a Grandmama Hornets though.
That was
a good one.
That was a good one. Yeah, I got classic one.
Yeah, people were so mad. They were like, "Oh, you don't wear a jersey." It's like, well. Why not?
Shut up.
How's that bother? And then the backwards hat thing, like, okay, am I too old to wear a backwards hat?
I wear backwards hats all the time. No, you know what it means? You got style and swag. They don't.
Yeah, they, and then you know that they do weird stuff. They probably like lather themselves in Vaseline and walk around with nothing but cowboy boots, and yet I'm weird because I wear a backwards hat.
That was somebody tried to tell me my graphic, I thought.
Well, I saw the guy's avatar and I assume that's what he does in his spare time.
You know what I'm gonna
do? Like, whatever, like, why does me wearing a backwards hat bother you?
Because
at all. Like, how could that affect you in your day-to-day?
He's got no style.
We're living in a pandemic. And you're worried about me wearing a backwards hat? Get over it. And by the way, I needed a haircut like 2 weeks before the pandemic.
Me too.
I'm seriously thinking about just shaving my head. Yeah. Just shaving the head and being like, this is what it is. I have nowhere to go.
We should set up a little chair right here in this mile of space between us, and we should just shave each other's heads during the show.
We're going to be a little too close for that, John, wouldn't we?
No, we're not doing that.
We'd be a little too close.
Can we get like a barber in a hazmat suit to just come do the entire show?
You know what I need?
Selfie stick with a buzzer on the end of it.
I don't want this guy to do it because of what's been going on. However, the only guy who could do it would be Rudy Gobert. The guy has the longest reach in the history of basketball.
Taco Fall.
Taco. We need Taco to come in but here, shave my head 6 feet away.
But don't you all you need is a mask and gloves and you're good?
I don't trust it.
You don't trust it?
I don't trust it.
Full hazmat suit or nothing.
Hazmat suit, shave my head. That's what I need because I'm losing it now. And then I got people chirping me.
Well, tell him to take his hat, to spin his hat around.
I'm going
to
wear a
classic. What is he, a kid? I don't know, man.
I'm going to wear a classic jersey for you on Wednesday.
Really?
I'm going to pull one out.
Okay.
You know, nice.
I'm looking forward to that.
And show you how the jersey game's supposed to be
Mitchell
done.
Mitchell Ness is coming through.
All right. I'm going to show you how it's supposed to be done. I'm going to show Andy Hott how you really do.
You didn't like my Paul Pierce Kansas?
I did like the Paul Pierce Kansas. I did like the Paul Pierce Kansas.
It's a good jersey.
Mm-hmm.
I got to be honest. I can only carry this off for about 3 or 4 more weeks. I don't have that many jerseys.
Well, you can recycle them. Just bring them
right
back.
I'm going to keep going as long as I've
go
still got them going.
Yeah, go buy them. You can just
go out to the store. They're essential.
Well, no, they'll deliver.
Yeah, no, they'll deliver it.
You can deliver
it. All right, let's get to the calls with you guys. And Paul is in Worcester. Hey, Paul, how are you?
Good. How's it going, guys?
Good. How are you?
Not too bad. Can't wait to see where Wiggy ends up on the top 5 tight end list.
Oh, yeah. Look out.
It's got to be either one or two, obviously.
Well, we'll see. It just depends,
we'll
right?
See. Could be.
Depends on what criteria you're using.
Anyway, looking at the Pats' schedule coming up this year, I don't see too many wins. They have a very difficult schedule.
Yeah, they do. I think it's tough because they get the NFC West. I don't think it's the murderer's row that it's been billed as.
Yeah, but see,
exactly.
you guys also believe that they can go out to L.A. and play the Rams and beat the Rams.
Okay, I'll leave the Rams out of it. And I don't want to win-loss the whole thing. But again, let's not forget, twice with the Dolphins, twice with the Jets. You got the Raiders, the Chargers. How much better are either of those
teams
this
year?
You've got the Cardinals. Broncos,
but you're,
the Broncos. Cardinals.
I don't think it's crazy.
But both of y'all are saying that they'll beat the Dolphins and Jets both games.
No, they might go 3-1 in those 4 games.
I see. I'm more of a split with those teams.
So you think 2-2
yep.
against the Jets and Dolphins?
Yep.
Can they split with Buffalo?
No.
So they're going 2-4 in the division. See, yep. I don't think.
See,
so.
That's where we differ. Okay. You know, that's where we differ.
But like the Raiders and the Chargers don't have a quarterback.
No.
The Raiders are sticking with Carr apparently, and then the Cardinals. They could be a fun team. I still think they're not going to be great. You're going to be able to score points in the Cardinals.
But now in games, right? So when you play a team like the Raiders, let's just use the Raiders, for example, because they were a decent team next year. You play them. Granted, it's going to be at home. Maybe you're the favorite by 3 points.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, you're going to grind out games.
They're
not going to blow anybody out. And oh, by the way, you're playing the Texans this year who have just gotten worse.
But still,
that was
though,
like a tough game.
Still,
no, I don't
though,
even know.
Still, think about how many games you watched last year.
All of them.
And you go and you say to yourself during that game, even when the Pats might have been down by 14 points going into the fourth quarter, and go, Yeah, I still feel good the Pats will win this game.
I don't know about last year. Last year, it was pretty much if they played a good team, they were going to lose. If they played a bad team, they would win because of their defense.
But you always still felt good that even in those, even against good teams, that they still could win those football games. Against Kansas City, you were like, ah, this they could still win this game.
No, I know, but they're going to be in it. Like, so the Denver game, for example, it might be Jared Stidham versus Drew Lock. Like, all right, maybe that's a coin toss.
Yeah,
right?
But
maybe
that's what I'm saying. I think that's a coin toss.
And maybe Belichick's able to, if it's a close game, right, maybe he's able to figure it out.
But
listen, I'm not guaranteeing the playoffs by any means. I'm just saying the schedule, I'm not going to say it's the world's toughest schedule just yet.
No, but I'm also going to say that you're a completely different team. So against the Raiders, I wouldn't even be surprised if the Raiders weren't favored three. Just because of the
here?
Yeah, just because they have the better quarterback.
Yeah.
Let's go to Adam in New Hampshire. Hey, Adam.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. How are you?
Hey, I got an idea. Good, good. I have an idea if they're going to start sports without fans. What would be so bad about strapping Chromebooks onto the seats, and then you can Skype people in, you could pump crowd noise in. And I think it would work for WrestleMania, basketball, maybe even hockey. And then afterwards, you could donate all the Chromebooks to schools in the area.
Love it.
It's a weird idea, but it's interesting.
Love it.
What if here's a good idea.
Everybody FaceTime into the game.
No, here's a good idea for sports, right? The same way you want to do restaurants,
yeah.
All right? We're letting in, you know, half of the people, and we're putting two seats between each person, or three seats. So a person, three seats,
you're
a
good.
Person.
Well, it's going to have to be less than half the
put up. You got to really make a lot of noise.
But you think teams would go for that?
No. I think crowds will probably be, I think if it's either all or nothing with crowds.
Okay.
That's my guess.
And I mean, I agree
now, if they
you.
Open it up to baseball, there are plenty of stadiums that it's basically like there's the coronavirus anyway. Mm-hmm. Like you have a day game in Baltimore, there's nobody there. You have a Tampa game, there's nobody there. But I think they're going to, it's hard to have kind of restrictions on that. And now you got people having to police, like, hey, you guys sitting together? Mm-hmm. Like, well, yeah, we live together. Like, well, no, you can't. Right. Not like,
no,
I think it's a pain.
But I agree with you. It is either all
or nothing.
Enough
for crowds.
For crowds. And I think that, like, some sports might, because isn't baseball, don't they count on the gate a lot, or is it hockey that counts on the gate?
Hockey.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I think maybe hockey says, well, if we can't put people in the stands, is it even worth having a modified playoff season?
Trust me, it's worth it because of the TV money.
But they don't have the NBA TV money. Like,
no,
the NBA makes
still,
more
it's
sense.
Still a significant portion. Okay. They need the games. The other part of this, Wiggy, is that unlike the other sports, next year's salary cap number in the NHL is based on this year's revenue. So the players, how much money they can pay the players next year is determined by the revenue this year. They are going to get every game. If they can get any games in, they're going to get every game in they can.
So let's say they start the games where you guys believe more July 1st, right? And I think it's mid-June. And if we say there are no fans, for hockey and basketball, because they're kind of in the playoffs,
yeah,
would they ultimately get to fans?
Of course. Sure. Eventually.
Oh, hopefully.
But the plan that the players have at least done some talking about in the NHL is training camp in July. You start the playoffs in August. Playoffs go August and September. You take October off. You start the new season in November. So if you're talking now August, September, by then you got a much better chance of having people in the stands.
So training camp July, start the playoff season in August?
August 1st.
All right, so then August 1st you'd be able to have people in the stands.
That would be the would be the guess.
Yeah.
And basketball, they're saying mid-June, right?
That's hopeful. Like, everything seems to be like hopeful. They're all tagging dates on there, but who knows?
Let's go to David on the cell phone. Hey, David.
Jail, Rich.
David?
JW, what's up?
What's up?
Wiggy, I got you at number three.
Okay.
All time for New England, all right?
Nice.
I'll take it.
All right.
But you don't want to hear who I have ahead of you.
I don't, mate. Doesn't matter.
Don't worry about it.
As long as I'm on the list.
I know who one is. I mean, I can go out on a limb.
Cam Cleland?
Yeah. Matt Lacoste.
I got Christian at number two.
Okay.
Okay. Not bad.
It's all good. Hey, Rich.
Yeah.
By far, you are the funniest co-host. On this dial.
Agreed.
The funniest guy.
We should have top five funniest.
Hard to argue.
We'll do that tomorrow at 12:30. Yes. We'll rank them.
One of the reasons why I listen to this radio station, Rich.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you.
But listen, hey, So go. Let's flash back to 2002 and before what we knew about Tom Brady being the GOAT. And he went 9-7 that season, coming in second behind the Jets. Don't you think if Stidham stays a whole season and goes 8-8, that's a pretty good accomplishment?
Yes.
If he goes 8-8,
no, it's sure. not. It's a good accomplishment.
It's good for Stidham.
It's good for a Stidham if he was the quarterback of the New York Jets. Okay. It's not good
for. Wait a minute. You just said he's a fourth round, in effect, a fourth round right. rookie quarterback.
Right.
8-8 wouldn't be a good year for him?
But for him,
I think it would be.
For him personally.
Yeah.
But
well, that's what we're talking about.
But for the organization. But
the expectations have changed. They're not a Super Bowl contender anymore.
Right. See that. But see, that's the problem, right? Uh-huh. So as a fan, I don't want
but
to
But to
see-
Dale's point, like before, if they go 8-8, that means every game matters. That means they're not out of yeah. it in all likelihood
anyway.
They're
playing games in December that matter.
Yeah.
Right, but that's a good – but I don't think they're going 8-8 with
no,
Stidham.
No, but he's just saying if they did.
Yeah, if they
go
did,
8-8, I think you'd look at it. And it would also be one where you'd look at, you know, how does Tom Brady do? What does he look like?
Right.
And then to try to grade Belichick. Because right now, I think most people think it's a bad move to – let Brady go and then turn it over to a fourth round pick. But if Belichick goes 8-8 with him,
doesn't matter.
No, unless, no, no. Unless, that doesn't look too
unless,
bad.
Unless Tom goes 8-8 or 7-9. If Tom goes,
yeah, I mean, if he's the MVP of the league, it's going to look pretty
but
bad.
But even if he goes 9-7 and yeah. they make the playoffs, it's
who, Brady or Stidham?
Brady.
Yeah, okay.
8-8 is not a good look for Belichick. It just isn't when you're talking about, because you're talking about a team that was a playoff team, 12-4. Just throw the record out of there. They were a playoff team.
Right, won the division.
Won the division. Now you're 8-8. You probably don't win the division. You probably don't make the playoffs. And if Brady goes, whatever, 9-7, he doesn't even have to go 12-4, 13-2. He goes 9-7 and they make the playoffs, you know, win for Brady.
I think that because of the extra playoff team, because of the division they play in, and to Rich's earlier point, which I think is spot on, this is not the murderer's row schedule that we originally thought it was. Remember, that was all based on last year's schedule and last year's opponents. How they are this year might not be the same thing.
Yeah, I think the one key is that they are playing top to bottom, probably the toughest division in the NFC.
It's a much harder schedule this year. I don't know what schedule you guys are looking at. I'm looking at the schedule right in front of me.
No, I know, but they also went 12-4. Nobody's saying they're going to go 12-4.
But I don't even go.
But I'm saying the AFC West is not great. It's the Chiefs. And then the NFC West, I'll give you, is good. But then you're still got two of the Jets and two of the Dolphins. Like, I don't know. It's
Wiggy, I've got them winning five of their home games. Winning at home against the Dolphins, Jets, Broncos, Raiders, Cardinals.
Yeah, but I don't see them beating the Raiders or the Cardinals. The Cardinals are going to be good with Fitzgerald, DeAndre Hopkins, a second year with Kyler Murray.
Christian Kirk is good. Yeah.
Who's the running back they had?
They got Kenyon Drake.
Yeah,
they weren't bad.
They weren't that good last year, but the addition of DeAndre Hopkins is going to make things a lot easier for them.
I know Shime likes Kyler Murray a lot this year, right?
Love Kyler Murray this year.
Yeah, maybe sprinkle on that MVP.
Dark horse MVP pick right
there
away.
There you go.
So okay. I would say the Raiders and Cardinals, I bet you in both of those games, those teams
are
the favorite.
Well, no, the one thing, I think this is the first year that there are games on the schedule. There's no gimme on the schedule because you don't know what the quarterback is. Whereas last year, last 20 years, basically, you could guarantee 9-10 wins, and then it's sort of like, all right, do they win these other games, these toss-up games?
But you'll be favored. I would agree with Dale that you'll be favored against the Jets, and you'll probably be favored against the Broncos. But I don't think I don't think you're going to be favored against the Dolphins
at home. You will.
I don't know. They beat you at home last year.
Is it still Ryan Fitzpatrick?
Yeah, but they still with Ryan Fitzpatrick, they beat you with you having Brady. So you don't Shime, you're the gambling guy, right?
He's on the phone right now.
He's on the phone right now.
He wears a lot of hats.
Well, I would say if you looked at Week 17 last year, they lost to the Dolphins.
Yeah, but you're not going to base it off of that. I mean,
but the bookies don't they usually base it off of some of that stuff?
I think it's more.
Let's ask Shime.
We will. He's on
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Coming up at 12:30 today as part of our Brady Week programming, we will rank the five best tight ends of the Tom Brady era. It's Dale and Keefe with one of them, Jermaine Wiggins here on Sports Radio WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.